How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
All right.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. And folks, have we got a treat for you. We have Tommy from Talking Tigs Podcast back on the line. We're doing another preseason conversation with LSU. There's been a number of sort of changes at LSU that are interesting, compelling conversations. Plus, it's just going to be an exciting football season. And gosh, we're just right around the corner. So Tommy and I get together, have another really good conversation, and I look forward to sharing it with you. Sit back and give us a listen. Hey, Alabama fans, have we got a treat for you. We've got Tommy with Talking Tigs Podcast back on record. Third or fourth time, Tommy, we've done this quite a bit now.
Yeah, it's good to be with you again. I think, gosh, we started in 2020, I believe, the year after LSU, year after the Burrow year. Everything, you know, it's in Baton Rouge now. Everything is kind of like AD and BC. It's, you know, before Burrow and after Burrow. So I think we did it that first year, and then have done a lead up podcast before the game, before the LSU Alabama game every year, and then, you know, just kind of one offs whenever we can schedule them. So excited to be with you.
Absolutely. I love it. Hey, I'm going to come out swinging. I'm going to come out hot. Last season, 2023, Heisman quarterback, world-class wide receivers, and a defense that had a hard day against a runny nose. Was 23 a lost season?
Was it a lost season? No, I honestly, I don't think so. And I don't think this is, a cope as joie de vie, or the word of the time, and I say that because I going into that season, I didn't necessarily think like that. I don't think we were there from a paper standpoint. Obviously, Jaden Daniels, I think, outperformed everyone's expectations, even outperformed, like, as an LSU guy who follows the program and loves the program, and everything. I didn't think he was going to win the Heisman. I mean, I think I would have. I don't know if I would have picked him. Like, if you'd said one of these two, Burrow or him, preseason is going to win the Heisman. Because I didn't think Burrow was going to be as good as he was, obviously, in 19 either. And I don't think many people did. But I would say that I think we really, really overperformed offensively. And the chinks in our arm, and that almost amplified how deficient we were on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think that if our offense, I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I think it was more of an amplification of how bad we were just because of the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
Right. Right. No, it was a stark contrast, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the defense. It's a new look, defensive staff. Talk about the defense, new coordinator, Blake Baker. And Alabama fans, we wish we had pulled in Bo Davis. Talk about the staff and what the expectations are there.
Well, I mean, off the top, Blake Baker, he's a guy who was at LSU before. He coached for us as a linebacker coach. I actually have a connection to his. My stepdad knows his family pretty well, so we were all very excited when he came to LSU. He's got Louisiana ties, and his whole family would come to games because of he's coaching for the premier program in the state. So it's pretty cool. I remember when he was let go, he was one of the faces of the old, because at the time he was coaching under Orgeron as a defensive guy. When Kelly came in, and this was, I think, and people in LSU circles have really argued about this, Kelly came in and really cut everyone loose. you know, didn't retain much of anybody. And there were a lot of people who maybe should have been retained or you know, had a lot more of a, wasn't like, I mean, LSU was not good under Orgeron. We all can, well, I mean, other than the national championship, we can all agree that like last 2 years of Orgeron were not great, but the pieces around him, I don't think the staff was just god awful.
Right.
But Kelly came in and a lot of times, I mean, this happens. It's not a thing for him. You come in, you bring in your entire new staff. You know, I remember a lot of people being really excited about Blake Baker's tenure as a linebacker coach and not wanting to let him go because of that season when that last season he was with LSU. One of the main bright spots was a guy by the name of Damone Clark, the linebacker, who had all of the tools, I mean, he's a physical freak, was kind of, you know, billed to be, oh, he's going to be like the next Devin White. He's going to be the guy at middle linebacker. And he just never could put it together until Blake Baker came and really made an impact on developing him. He ended up being a drafted in the NFL draft, plays for the Cowboys now, you know, great story for development. And so I remember looking at him being like, man, we got to keep this guy. Like he's the only thing that changed in this linebacker scenario. But again, like I said, Kelly gets rid of the whole staff, cleans house. We've actually seen kind of a double back on some of the things, you know, bringing back people. You look at a guy like Corey Raymond, who we brought back as well, who people consider to be the godfather of DBU. I think there's some argument there, and I think there's some really good. You're going to see this year and probably in the next year, as far as recruiting goes, whether it was more of a program thing or whether Corey Raymond really was and really is, you know, the DB guru that we've kind of built him to be, because that was a deficient. I mean, our entire top to bottom defense was deficient, but really the secondary was uncharacteristically bad for LSU last year. So Blake Baker at being the defensive coordinator, obviously you saw what he did at Missouri. Really excited to have it. I think for as a fan and as somebody who was a fan of his just from knowing, you know, knowing him, I've never met him personally, but sure, knowing his family and that kind of thing. Yeah. I was rooting for him at Missouri. And when we got rid of our defensive coordinator and we're looking for somebody, he was top of my list.
Fantastic.
So excited about that. Bo Davis, another name you mentioned. I mean, he's done a great job, and people, you know, he's come highly regarded for years, and excited already. You know, I feel like he's hit the ground running. And again, like I mentioned, Corey Raymond, that's a place, defensive back is a place we really need to improve. And it's, you know, something we've been proud of for, you know, 20 years now, being DBU, being, you know, producing some of the best defensive backs in college football, and we just really missed the mark last year. And so I think it's going to be there's a lot of room to improve, which is not always what you want to, you know, what you want to have, but it's exciting, and I think that there's a lot of young guys who have some potential.
How about Harold Perkins? Is he gonna I don't want to say play like he did as a freshman, but boy, he was revolutionary a couple of years ago. Is he going to be back maybe to full form?
You know, I'd like to think so. All the talent's there. Now, he's put on a lot of weight, I think. And, you know, from SEC media days and hearing, I mean, he was one of the guys that we sent, and he, you know, speaking. And then obviously also like with what Brian Kelly has said, you know, when he came in as a freshman, he was really just a pass rusher, disruptor, go get, see ball, get ball. Last year, and you know, to what effect or to what success we had, not much. But last year, they tried to really teach him a position. They said, you know, we need to make you a linebacker. It was and obviously, I think, you know, middle linebacker is one of the most challenging positions in football, so to kind of throw a guy into that, obviously it's not something that you can just learn overnight. I think you're going to see him, and Brian Kelly said it during one of his interviews, they're really going to move him around. That's what they want to do. They want to put him in space. He's super athletic, he's got all the tools, but I think also something that has been a priority for Kelly is developing for the next level. I think that putting him in the middle linebacker position last year, really trying to make him play, straight up linebacker, was a look, man, if you're going to play in the NFL, you got to learn, you got to have a position in some way. So I think we're going to get it didn't really work out for him. I think we're going to get a little bit more, a little bit of a middle ground now, but I'm hoping, and we really need him to, if LSU is going to be successful this year, they're going to need Harold Perkins to be, to be a Will Anderson, to be a Dallas Turner, to be, somebody like that, where, I mean, both of those guys could play outside linebacker with the best of them. But I think you'd agree they were best when they were just go get the guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Just let the athleticism, free.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, talk about, let's sort of flip the field a little bit and talk about offense. It's a new look offense, right? Quarterback, top receivers, world-class receivers last year, along with, the Heisman winning quarterback. What's the expectation around Garrett Nussmeier, and who are the names to know at wide receiver?
So at wide receiver, first of all, Nussmeier's a guy who has been at LSU. I mean, this is his fourth year, his redshirt junior. It's something that is rare in today's game, right? I mean, you don't see that. I saw our shared former coach, now turned media analyst, Nick Saban's compared him to Mac Jones. So I think that's a really interesting and good comparison. That's something I've thought about. I think as far as like 2 years ago or a year ago, I remember talking, because there's always been rumors about him transferring, especially to TCU and SMU, because his dad they've got a lot of Dallas connections, and sure, he went to Marcus High School in Dallas. And I remember saying, like, well, maybe he can, could he be, is he looking to follow the Mac Jones model of sitting behind some of these, real star type players? I hope he is. And obviously he has. I'm optimistic for him. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, he's going to win the Heisman. He's going to be the best quarterback in college football. I do think this year is a little bit more of a down year for quarterbacks. I don't think we have like a Caleb Williams, right, who's just, coming. He's like, oh, that's the guy. So could he be one of the best? Absolutely. He's got the arm talent for it. I think you've seen that in every time he's gotten a snap in a meaningful game, he's got the arm talent and he's mobile. He's had enough time to really develop the within the system. As far as weapons for him, Chris Hilton is a guy who is a junior, a redshirt junior, same class as Garrett Nussmeier. He's from Zachary High School outside of Baton Rouge. This is a guy with, sort of verified. I think that the term they use on Rivals or On3, one of the recruiting services, is verified track speed. He was a track star, ran the 100 meter in high school and set records and everything. So he's a real, fast downfield threat, and somebody who, I mean, he played a lot last year, but just when you have, and you know how it is, when you have one and two, Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers, it's really hard to get attention from somewhere, right, from, for the third guy. Kyron Lacy's another one expecting, big things from. I want to see more from Aaron Anderson, who's a guy who is from Louisiana, went to Alabama and transferred back to LSU. He muffed a punt early in the season last year, and just never really recovered from that. And I don't know if it was necessarily him or coaching, but he didn't get in much of the game after. He didn't get as much play time. I think Saban was actually kind of famous for saying, hey man, if you'd stayed, you would have played more here. Yep. Why'd you leave? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Who knows how true that is? Because like when push comes to shove, sure, it's all hindsight's 20/20. But he's somebody who I think is an interesting guy. Has a lot of speed. Smaller frame guy, but I remember watching him in high school and watching the recruiting and being like, man, we got to get that guy. So I'm excited for him. But even some of the younger guys like Xavion Thomas, CJ Daniels are two. And then I would say redshirt freshman Shelton Sampson. He's a guy from Catholic High in Baton Rouge, was a highly recruited guy out of high school and really, I think could have gone anywhere, that could have signed his ticket and gone to whatever school he wanted, but chose to stay home. And haven't seen as much from him, but I don't know. You know, he was a guy who's been highly touted, and I'm anxious to see if he can maybe shine and get some attention on the playing field.
Nice. Hey, let's take it off the field a little bit and talk about strength and conditioning coach Tommy Moffitt, a little bit of a legend there in Baton Rouge. And I think sometimes the strength and conditioning coach, because they have rules around hours and times that coaches can spend time with players, but the strength and conditioning, they're sort of exempt from that. And so sometimes the strength and conditioning coach can be an extension of the head coach in a very sort of unique and real way. So talk about that transition, Moffitt leaving, the new guy. What is there sort of an understory that maybe you've heard there, or what was the cause of that move?
I mean, I think that it's a that everything that I've heard, and again, this is not a positive or negative, you know, reflection of Brian Kelly, but he wants it his way.
Yeah.
And this is his program. This is nobody else's program. And I think that when you're paying the guy all the money, you know, millions and millions of dollars, like, give him, okay, if this is the guy, and we believe this is the guy to take it forward, and he says we need to move in a different direction with strength and conditioning, then, I mean, who are we to tell him no? I think that, and it's something that y'all kind of dealt with. I think it's a similar thing. Moving from Scott Cochran to, mm-hmm. I believe y'all have two now, right? It's kind of a tag team.
It's back to Ballou. His sort of partner in crime went on, and I think he's with the Saints. But he went on to the NFL. But yeah, you're right. It was a big deal sort of in Tuscaloosa when Cochran left, and then of course, you know, he had to go to Georgia, and you know, that didn't sit too well. But so there's a lot of people disappointed when he left, but then sort of bringing in more of the call it the sports science mm-hmm. element. There was a lot of interest in that. And I think that's been sort of compelling, interesting. It seems like maybe injuries are a little bit down. The tracking that they do over performance and speed and strength, they tend to demonstrate that the players are getting stronger as the season goes on, as opposed to there were years where we were a worn out team at the end of the season. And so I think we've seen some improvement in that regard. So yeah, I think there's excitement over, you know, the change was a challenge, right? I think looking back at it, it was very much considered an upgrade, and that's nothing against Scott Cochran. What he did at Alabama was phenomenal. But there's a, maybe an older school method versus a new school method. And so we sort of turned the page in that direction.
Well, I think it's a similar thing. And I mean, just look at some of the teams that you take maybe our 07 team or y'all's 09 team, put that up against your most, our 19 team.
Yeah.
And y'all's what, 20 team. That'd be the most recent national champions.
Yeah.
They're not the same. It's not the same game. And so, and because of that, it takes different types of player development.
Yeah.
You know, a Cochran was there in 08, right? He was the strength coach. Moffitt was there in 08. Cochran was the, I mean, Moffitt was with us for forever. He was there in 07, I believe. And so the type of development that it takes to build a guy like a Jacob Hester in his prime or a Dante Hightower or something like that is not the same as what you need to build a, you know, Justin Jefferson or a, you know, take your pick from Alabama.
Yeah.
It's a different game. It's a different athlete. The speed is different. And I saw a thing today. It's like, you know, asking Brian Kelly of like, you know, y'all might have to prepare to play 17 games this season.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think. That's going to take a different toll on players. And so I think maybe just bringing in some fresher blood coupled with maybe a younger approach, but also Brian Kelly, you know, saying this is my program and I'm going to completely do it my way. And so Moffitt's moved on. He's going to be at Texas A&M now. And, you know, I think that, I mean, his son, I believe still lives in Baton Rouge and actually does training for, he was a football, he was a baseball player. He pitched for LSU.
Yeah.
And so he does a lot of, like, you know, strength and conditioning kind of work with baseball players around town. So, you know, I don't think there was any really bad blood or anything like that, but moving in a different direction.
No, that's fair.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
That's fair. Talk about Brian Kelly. What's sort of the current, I don't know if alignment's the right word, or sort of fan perception, is there's some media outlets, and it's that time of year, right? Is he a true hot seat candidate? Like, what's sort of, dial us in, what's true and what's fiction on sort of the perception on the Bayou with one Brian Kelly?
I don't feel like, and I don't speak for the whole media as far as LSU goes, but I don't feel like he's on the hot seat. And I think that's kind of, he's got a very, you know, weird way of managing expectations. And maybe that's obviously that's a talent of his or skill. It just feels like he keeps the temperature, keeps everything even. And he did it at Notre Dame. I mean, you know, he was good and, you know, kind of middling and all of that, kind of stay. And I think he probably could have stayed as long as he wanted. Mm-hmm. It feels like at LSU, I'm not hearing people calling for his head. I mean, we had a Heisman Trophy winner last year. The expectation of this team, I don't know if we're, you know, I don't think people aren't going around saying, like, okay, championship or bust, anything like that. I think the general sentiment is we're going to be a good to very good team. We have a chance to obviously make the playoff with 12 team playoff. Like most SEC teams have a chance to make the playoff, with the, you know, the new kind of conference alignment, as far as no divisions and everything like that, our schedule is pretty favorable. But I don't feel like this team is loaded to the, you know, the same effect of like an Ohio State. Like, sure. Ryan Day right now is at a point from of course I'm not in Columbus. So from the outside looking in, to me, it looks like, man, okay, Ryan Day, and even some of the players are saying it. I think their quarterback was quoted as saying, like, that we have a championship or bust mentality.
Yeah.
So who knows? I don't feel like Brian Kelly's in trouble. I think that we're still, at least I am, still adjusting to the new way, the new LSU, the Brian Kelly LSU, because even Orgeron's LSU was, to me, you know, it was like clearly his, he clearly had his own kind of way of doing things, but it was very similar to what Les Miles did. So we've kind of over 10 years, kind of had the same program, same continuity of program. Now things are very much different. The way that we're recruiting is very different. And you know, when you look at, like, the recruiting services, it'll still say, like, oh, it's a top 10 recruiting class. Oh, great. But it's the type of players that we're putting into the class and the way that we're, you know, it's like, we've never recruited as many high level offensive linemen as we are now. You know, I think that's something that Brian, in fact, we just picked up a commitment from a guy from Indiana. So I'm sure that's, you know, Brian Kelly pulling on his Notre Dame connections. But like, I don't, like, it's just a different way. We might end up having one of the best offensive lines in the SEC this year, which is great. I can't remember a time that, obviously, I think, you know, when Burrow was quarterback in 19, we had a top O-line. But then again, you could say, well, when you have a quarterback that good, their right. job is a little bit easier. So, right. so, you know, it's like a chicken or the egg thing. But I to answer your question, I don't think he's in trouble. I don't think he's in trouble like Sam Pittman is,
right,
or something like that.
Yeah, he's tip of the spear.
Yeah,
on that type of question. I don't know why I think I want to say this, but I've always liked Brian Kelly. We've talked about him in that way in prior pods. I think one of my favorite moments with Brian Kelly, I think it was last bowl season. Y'all had won a game and it was like the Frito Bowl or the Corn Chip Bowl or whatever. And so he's walking to the middle of the field and reaches down and like scoops up these corn chips that had been Cheez-Its. There you go.
Yeah. Cheez-Its.
Okay. There you go. There's something that's so humanizing about that. That he just, I don't know. I just, it is kind of a silly thing for me to fixate on. But every time I see that, and I saw it just recently, you know, I guess leading up to some stuff I was looking at for LSU and leading up to media days. And I saw that and I was like, I remember that. I think if I were an LSU guy and he were my coach, I would somehow need a poster of that, because that's, to me, there's something just, you know, just like, that's something that I would do, right? Like you would do that at home, right? Like, oh, I dropped a Cheeto on the floor, I'm just going to pick it up and eat it. And so he did that just right there. Not in a, you know, I guess, I don't know, maybe it is something in the water at LSU, but not like Les Miles where he would like eat the grass and have way over the field. Like that's weird, you know, in a very Les Miles kind of way. But like, there's a stack of Cheetos and the ones on top are clean. And so I'm going to grab some of that. I just think that's neat.
The funny thing about the Cheeto or the Cheez-It Bowl. And this was, you know, this is what we love and what's hilarious and weird about college football. But like, you know, you get on these recruiting boards, you know, the 247s of the world or whatever, we have Tiger Droppings is ours. So when we went to the Cheez-It Bowl, which again is, I mean, it's a, I love all the bowls. The bowls are great.
Absolutely.
But it's not the Rose Bowl. The Cheez-It Bowl is not the Rose Bowl.
It's not.
And we go to the Cheez-It Bowl and it's they've got this great thing where Garrett Nussmeier is chosen to be the Cheez-It like player or something. And so he gets to stay in the Cheez-It branded room, like hotel room, and it's like completely, I mean, you can look it up, like, you know, it's like all orange and the bed is a Cheez-It box and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, heavens.
But you know, like Jaden Daniels was the quarterback at the time, and so the big question was, is he unhappy? Does this mean he doesn't want to stay with his teammates? He's on his way out. They're pushing him to the Cheez-It room because he's transferring.
Right. Holy cow. That's crazy. That's crazy. Hey, let's take a look, maybe a step back, right? As we fast approach the 2024 season, extended playoffs, new landscape, you know, new team members in the SEC, no divisions, a lot of changes. What is what's a realistic expectation across the LSU fan base for the season?
I mean, I think it's realistic for LSU to be a playoff contender. I'm not saying we're going to win the SEC. I'm not saying we're going to, you know, go undefeated, but I mean, you can easily lose two to three games in this new look college football landscape and make the playoff. And I don't even think that's, you know, I think that's pretty feasible. So,
yeah.
You know, last year, like you said, we were a three loss team. I think that, you know, I think this schedule shapes up pretty well. And from our perspective, and I mean, I know it's probably different for everyone, for those who are tapped into Alabama, but I mean, I feel like for us, it's like, wow, you know, we can now that game that we've always circled, that we've always been excited about. It's still going to be important, but it's not going to have the gravity that it always has. It's going to be another game in the SEC, which is never tough. It's never easy.
Right.
But you know, now when I'm looking at the schedule, I mean, some of the games that scare me, I mean, obviously Alabama, you got to give them the credit they're going to have with Jalen Miller returning. Obviously Kalen Boer is a guy who was in the CFP last year, coached in the CFP. But I mean, like Ole Miss, they're going to, this is their, talk about a make or break year. Like, do I think LSU's team is like make or break? And like, if we don't win it this time, you know, oh, it's for all is lost. No, for Ole Miss, I think they do think that. I think they would tell you that.
Yes.
So that's going to be, you know, like those are some of the games I'm looking at. I think obviously we open in Vegas against USC. If you believe the rumors, that's been one that they've been trying to get out of.
What do you make of that?
Man, you know, I think it's kind of hilarious, especially when you think about how, and I'm sure you remember this because this was the college football, like, you know, last week of the season, y'all would be just wrapping up the Iron Bowl. And the I remember walking out of Tiger Stadium after the A&M game and seeing on TV all the ESPN, everybody's asking Lincoln Riley, are you going to LSU? Are you going to LSU? And I remember people thinking like, yeah, LSU, he's the new LSU coach. Of course, fast forward, it didn't happen. He said, no, I'm not going to LSU, and nobody believed him, but he actually wasn't. And then Brian Kelly is the guy, da 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 da. But I think it is kind of hilarious that people were saying, oh, well, like Lincoln Riley doesn't want to be the coach at LSU because he's dodging the SEC. You know, he's not going to, he can't do it or whatever. Maybe he was dodging the SEC. You know, at the time there was all the talk of are Oklahoma and Texas going to be added? And then he conveniently left, and then now he's playing it. Now he's at USC. They've got this game, which I believe was scheduled before he was the coach at USC. You know, they schedule these games years in advance, and so now he's now he doesn't want to play it. I don't know. Do I believe it? Maybe. I think more so. I don't know if he's necessarily scared of LSU, but I think. You know, he's entering a big boy conference now, and you know he's going to be playing Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. All he's going to be traveling, you know, thousands of miles, a lot of travel, and he's probably like, you know, why are we playing this non-conference? Basically, we're going to be playing road neutral or not necessarily neutral sites because it'd be a lot. Some of them will be road games, but we're going to be playing like very weird opponents for our conference now. And so why are we doing it when it doesn't necessarily mean as much? So I don't know. It's going to be weird.
No, that's an interesting point. They're going to be playing a new slate of opponents. So you think about, you build the book on teams, right? And you know the other team's roster, you know their players, you know their strengths, you know their weaknesses. And so you get a couple of years into playing the same team every year, every year, every year. And you kind of, I mean, you need to revisit it, but you kind of have a book on them. You go into a new conference, you don't have a book on any of them. And so everything is brand new. And I've got to go up to Vegas and play LSU on top of that. I mean, I get not wanting to do it in some way. If you're a competitor, you just want to line up and play ball. But this is a year, and you know, maybe he's not had the success at USC that everyone hoped that he would at this point. And so it gets harder. This will be a hard season.
I think it's going to be a very hard season for him. I mean, they don't have the reigning Heisman trophy winner coming in again, and kind of his, I don't want to say safety blanket, because I actually like Lincoln Riley a lot, but sure. You know, he is a guy who, Caleb Williams is a guy he brought with him from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And Alex Grinch is a guy he brought with him from Oklahoma. Both of them are gone now. I mean, obviously Grinch was let go because of the defense didn't perform, but I mean, if your defense is a performer in the Pac-12, that's just not, it's not great. I do. And I think to your point on the, you know, having a book, what's interesting is, like with Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC, I would imagine it's a little bit easier for them. Now, I mean, like has Texas played, Texas has not played, it's played LSU like once in the past 10 years or so. I mean, it was 2019, then we were supposed to play them in 2020. It never happened because of COVID. But having that book you're talking about, but these are two teams that recruit the same players. LSU recruits heavily out of Dallas, heavily out of Houston. Obviously, Texas is recruiting heavily out of Houston and Dallas and all those areas. And, you know, it's a regional thing. So, and you know, we talk about Alabama and LSU kind of like trading players in some ways. Like y'all had Eli Ricks, we had him first, then flip you know, fast flip it. And like you had Aaron Anderson, we had him first, but we recruited him. Same thing with Shaz Preston. So these are people who we are familiar with and are like kind of, you know, really know of like, yeah, like, hey, you got to watch out for Preston on the outside. He's going to be, a, you know, he's going to be a real good, you know, could be a good wide receiver threat for him. But when you're coming from USC and now you're going to be like, okay, I got to go play at Happy Valley. You don't know any of these players and you don't know any, you know, it's, you didn't recruit them. You weren't in a, unless they were a big time blue chip national guy, but you know, the third, second string guys coming in and, you know, the, towards the end of the, end of the third quarter or something, you had no clue.
Right.
You didn't recruit him. You didn't know him. He probably came, you know, came from like New Jersey or something. So I don't envy them. The ACC is going to have the same trouble. Yeah. I hate the way that the game is going, lacking a regional kind of aspect of it, because that's what I really like about it. And I'm interested to see how that works out for them. And I'm glad we haven't added, you know, some team from the Pacific Northwest or something just for money.
Yeah, I'm glad we are. I'm glad that the SEC has sort of stuck to it's some semblance of a footprint. You know, maybe you add a border state or something, but you know, sort of sticking with a footprint. I think has been important for the conference. I think there's going to be, and the SEC will have you know, Texas and Oklahoma matched up against sort of the slate of opponents. That'll be fun. I think there's going to be some really compelling and interesting games, you know, in the Big Ten as well. USC, you know, like you said, sort of against Penn State or Wisconsin. Those are interesting matchups. Those are bowl game matchups, right? You're excited about them because you never get to see those teams compete, and so. We'll get to see them compete in some regard every year, right? And so that can't be good for the bowl season as well, right? Is all of these sort of never get to see matchups sort of go away.
The novelty is going to be gone.
Yeah, the novelty. I mean, here you go.
People were talking about the Rose Bowl. It's like the Rose Bowl, because the Rose Bowl is that.
Yeah.
The Rose Bowl was seeing like, okay, we're going to see Oregon and they're going to play Michigan.
Right.
Or USC is going to play Ohio State or, you know, Penn State, and it's going to be great. And you're going to see two different types of football really go against each other and the granddaddy of them all.
Yep.
I mean, now it's going to be a Saturday in September.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
I mean, I guess that's fine, but.
I mean, you know, you know, again, the Bulls, they won't like it, but they've been kind of on the outs for a while. I enjoy watching, you know, it's college football in its last gasp of the season. So I enjoy it, but you know, we see what the ratings are too. Hey, let me wrap up. I've got maybe a fun question for you. We all hear, right? And we all agree. There's nothing like Saturday night in Baton Rouge. There's nothing like Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. And I agree with that. I do. Where do LSU fans like to go? Everyone likes to come to your house and drink your bourbon. Where do LSU fans like to go?
I mean, is it a cop out to say Omaha? No. Oh, okay. yeah, I mean, like I'm equal opportunity in a lot of ways. I mean, Omaha truly is. I mean, sure. LSU baseball is about as big as anything, and but as far as football goes, I love the SEC. I like Bryant Denny. I like Jordan Hare. I mean, we don't go to Athens that often. We don't go to Rocky Top, and we don't go to, you know, Knoxville that often. But I mean, there's so many good stadiums. There's so many good atmospheres. And I mean, Ole Miss, that's a great atmosphere. I love it all. I would say my least favorite is probably Texas A&M. I don't necessarily care for you know, the Aggies, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, y'all have a great atmosphere. The Swamp is great, at, you know, Florida.
Yeah.
That's why we love this sport. That's why we love the SEC. It's everybody. They've all got their own quirks, but at their own, you know, positives and negatives. I mean, LSU. This year they're making big improvements to Tiger Stadium, and you know, they're adding a massive new screen, and they're gonna copy Alabama and do lights. The light show is coming, and all this kind of stuff. But you know, Tiger Stadium is, and they're doing all this because it's 100 years of Tiger Stadium.
Nice.
Tiger Stadium was built by Huey Long, the governor, of governor of Louisiana, and he couldn't get it built as a stadium. So he had to build, you know this, he had to build it as a dorm.
He could get funding for dorms, right?
Yeah, he got funding for dorms. He's like, okay, well, we'll just put a stadium next to the dorms.
Yes.
And so there are people, I mean, not my time at LSU, but there are people not that long ago who, yeah, I lived in Tiger Stadium.
Yeah.
And like my room was there. So, I mean, there's just like, it's special.
Yeah, parts of Neyland are like that, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. So I mean that's why we love this sport, and that's why it's the best, and that's why it's not, I mean, like, you know, people lived in the Superdome, but that was not for good reasons. That was because of Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. This is, you know, the NFL game is never going to be, it's never going to have that type of
type of tieback and
lore. Yeah,
yeah,
that lore and that patina. You know, as you might say, kind of vintage, kind of just, there's something about it. And so
I'm with you. The lights, they're cool. I'm just gonna say
I've never seen the lights in person like that. And so, you know, I think it'll be, I'm excited. I mean, I'm sure it is cool. It looks cool on TV and everything, but
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it is. I wasn't sure. I was like, you know, maybe. And I had a buddy who was like, oh, that's stupid. And no. In the moment, it's pretty dang cool.
Yeah,
it really is.
Oh, man.
That's cool. Well, Tommy, man, we appreciate you having you on. And like I said, we love talking SEC football and learning more about the Tigers and building up expectations and hope for the season. It's mid-July as we record this, and the season's just going to be upon us before we know it. SEC media days this week, and just a handful of days or a couple of weeks away from fall practice starting. I know the players are really counting that down for good and bad reasons, because it's still hot, and football practice is not designed to be easy, but that's the nature of it, and that's why they play. So, Tommy, appreciate having you on. It's a great conversation. It's always great to have you on, and look forward to an exciting season.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me on, as always.
And we're back. Thanks for listening. Again, what did I tell you? Another good conversation with Tommy with the Talking Tigs podcast. Tommy has the passion for LSU, just like we do for Alabama, and it's always fun having just a good football conversation, respectful conversation with a rival. And Tommy delivered again. So we appreciate having him on the show, and we certainly appreciate you listening. I will sort of pitch the support team that we have with the podcast. Tommy and I go on at the end of the show. We go on and have about another 20 minutes of conversation. He has questions about Saban retiring and Kalen DeBoer, and we go on and have another really, really good conversation after that. And I am providing that to sort of our listener group, sort of the raw version of the tape. They'll have an opportunity to listen to that as well. So if that is of interest to you, reach out, sign up on the website, or reach out, and we'll get you hooked up with that. In the meantime, you know what to do. Roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out, where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach? Of course, Roll Tide.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.